WVYC's Perspectives is a weekly look at the people and programs that make up the York College community. This program looks at the issues that impact our college environment. This week's host is Jeffrey Schiffman. And welcome to WVYC's Perspectives. And our guest this week will be John Weaver. He's a professor here at York College, and he's also the program coordinator of the intelligence analysis here at the college. First of all, John, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate being here.
Let's talk about intelligence analysis. Describe what that is, because I would imagine that a lot of people may not know exactly what that is.
Sure. What we're trying to do is basically train the next generation of folks that will go out and provide information on what exactly is going on in the world. So they basically are people that will take a look at raw data and information, try and make sense of it. So essentially conducting an analysis of that information.
And when you talk about information, what are we talking about? What kind of information?
Well, we're focusing on open source information here at the college, because unfortunately we have to keep everything at the unclassified level.
Right.
But we still cover some of the other techniques that are available in terms of collection. And we do have some exercises that we conduct in the classroom where we look at pictures, we look at full motion video, and we look at other sources so that students can have a process or an opportunity to basically synthesize that information and make sense of it.
How did you get into this field?
Well, I've basically spent 20 years in the military and 5 years working as a civilian in the intelligence community. So over the past several years, I've worked with a lot of analysts and provided a lot of analytical products both to the military and the DoD's civilian side. So basically, when the position came available here at York, I basically put in an application, and here I am today.
What attracted you about York? Until you came, we didn't really have something like that here at York College.
Well, York's got a great reputation, and I basically track a lot of the local colleges in the Baltimore and this part of Pennsylvania, these areas, and I was really intrigued with the quality of the students here at York, as well as the fact that it's fairly close to my home. So from a commuting perspective, it was also something that was very beneficial for me as well.
Fit those needs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We always like that. All right, let's talk about what are students going to be doing if they're interested in the field that you're in? The end game for most of us is that we need to try and get them jobs. Where are they going to go from a job perspective after they've been through the program here?
Sure. Great question. The bottom line up front is there are actually 17 members of the intelligence community, starting with the Director of National Intelligence, located in the vicinity of the Fort Meade area. And then the other actors are basically dispersed throughout, basically just south of Baltimore, north of D.C., going down into D.C., and in parts of Northern Virginia. That's kind of the one over the world. So we're hoping that the folks that graduate here will ultimately end up working for one of those intelligence community members. The state police departments also have an intelligence component to them as well. And essentially, the same tactics, techniques, and procedures that we're covering in this program would be just as applicable to the state police departments as well. And there's a lot of other private sector organizations. For example, we ran a panel discussion yesterday, and one of the panel members was from IJIT International down in Annapolis. So there's a lot of private sector organizations just like IJET that essentially provide unclassified assessments to both individuals, especially corporate senior executives going overseas, as well as companies that are looking to do business overseas. So for example, if Under Armour was looking to perhaps expand to look at maybe a textile facility somewhere in another part of the world, IJET and these other private sector organizations could provide a threat assessment to them to see if it's worth their while to even look at.
All right. So we are really talking about life and death issues in some cases. If there's a threat, we have to be concerned about that, and companies are concerned about that. We're living in a totally different world. If you and I had this conversation 20 years ago, it might be a totally different conversation than we're having today. How have we seen a change over essentially your career path? What's really changed?
Yeah, well, when I started in the military back in the late 80s, and then even moving up to about 91, we basically lived in a bipolar world where we had one threat which concerned us, and that was the Soviet Union. And of course, you had countries that were either aligned in that camp or our camp. With the dissolution of the Soviet Union, we basically had a peace dividend for a couple of years. But thereafter, we started to see the emergence of a lot of non-state actors and terror organizations, basically burgeoning out of the Taliban. You had the and the Mujahideen in Afghanistan morphing into al-Qaeda, and then a splinter faction off of al-Qaeda with the emergence of the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, or ISIL. And basically, these non-state actors are very adept at applying pressure to different parts of the world and creating a lot of instability.
So that's been the biggest change, is that we're no longer just concentrating on the old Soviet Union. We now have to concentrate on the whole world, because every spot could be a place for terrorism.
Yeah. Now that said, that basically is kind of what transpired over the last, let's say, two decades. But in more recent times, maybe going back over the last 5 years, we've seen some changes in other traditional state actors like China and Russia, where they are basically asserting themselves and becoming, at a minimum, reasserting themselves as significant regional players. And one could make the argument that perhaps over time, that especially if the U.S. Starts to weaken as a hegemony, that one of these two actors could potentially become a near-peer competitor.
Should we be afraid about what fear level? I know that there are some people. Obviously, we had the incident happen in New York just a couple of weeks ago. We've had other incidents that have certainly been kind of lone wolf sort of thing. Should we be living in fear in this country, or is that we should just live our lives, let the intelligence community figure out where the threats are and capture most of the threats, which, by the way, most of the time they do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now I'm actually, I know this might sound politically incorrect, but I'm not convinced that the terror organizations, as they exist now, present an existential threat to the United States.
Okay.
More people die of cancer, more people die of car accidents than they do by acts of terrorism. My concern is that we become so overly enamored with what's going on with these terror organizations that we are throwing a tremendous amount of resources after them in order to try and basically destroy them. I think the new norm, and essentially if you look at what came out of the recent attacks in New Jersey and New York, is that there really wasn't a lot of or significant outcry from the American public. I'm not saying that this is the new norm, but I think people are coming to the sense that, hey, things are kind of changing here in the world. And not to say that we shouldn't do what we can to do away with the threat and to stay on top of the threat, but to understand that attacks will happen, and just to do what we can to either prevent them from happening outright or to minimize their effectiveness when they do happen.
Isn't, in a way, terrorism the fact that we put those resources to fighting, protecting against, doesn't that part of the problem with terrorism, that it kind of changes our mindsets? We're not idly going around. We have all the security we have at airports. We have all the security that we have in a lot of other places. Do you think that is kind of a form of terrorism, or is that a byproduct of terrorism?
Yeah, I think it's a byproduct of terrorism. I know what I believe is that our elected officials would like to do something about it, or at least give the perception that we are doing something about it. So as a result, you see the emergence of like the Transportation Security Administration. You see us changing the way in which we pre-clear individuals going on planes or perhaps cruise ships. And a lot of those mechanisms are considered the hardening of facilities. And if you look at terrorists, oftentimes they don't want to confront things directly. They're going to use asymmetric methods in order to kind of come at us at our weaker points. So And they're learning and they're capable of critical thinking. So they're going to look for other ways around those. And potentially, you've probably seen this with the schools and attacking of some of the schools. And now we've kind of hardened those. So it's kind of like a game of whack-a-mole where we look to put some products in as a result of their current tactics, techniques, and procedures, but they kind of move around and do something else.
So when a student comes to you and he says, What am I going to learn in my 4 years at York College and get into that field? They're interested in that field. What are you talking to them about? What are the kind of things that they're going to be learning?
Yeah, well, at the introductory level, we just kind of go over the overview of what the intelligence community is about the basic members, the different phases of the intelligence analysis process. When we move into the 200-level courses, we're kind of looking at the application of different things that the intelligence community uses, like the different methodologies. And we have practical exercises in those classes where they have a chance to kind of put those methodologies to work. With the writing class, similarly, they have the ability to learn what it's like to write for the intelligence community. We deal with such things as classified markings, symbology that they will see on maps and other digital media that represent either bad guys or state actors. And then in the national security class, we basically have a capstone exercise where their group papers are synthesized at the end of the semester, and we provide it to the National Security Council. So they actually get practical experience in writing something that's going to be consumed by someone that has the need for intelligence. And then as we move on to the 400 level, I basically move more away from the group projects and then focus more individually so that our students are best set for success when they move on from college.
Are you seeing students criminal justice area, that's one of the areas that they maybe previously went into, that they morphed into some of the this area?
Yeah, of all the majors here at York, if you're looking at the crossover, most do come from criminal justice, and many of those that are actually minoring in intelligence analysis are basically still retaining the criminal justice major.
John Weaver, Program Coordinator for the Intelligence Analysis here at York College. Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
WVYC Perspectives is a production of the staff of WVYC. York College of Pennsylvania owns and operates WVYC, and any and all content is solely the property of York College. Jeffrey Schiffman serves as the executive producer of WVYC Perspectives. WVYC Perspectives can be heard Monday and Friday morning at 10 a.m. on 88.1 FM. Downloads of the WVYC Perspectives podcast are available at the WVYC Podbean site, wvyc.podbean.com. Join us next week for another edition of WVYC Perspectives.